When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another TalkSport. Oh, no, of course not. It's the Andy Goldstein. I can't even read my own writing. The Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. And what a podcast we've got coming your way. We've got lots in it, including, of course, the best bits of Andy Goldstein's Trans-Europe Express, but more of that later. We begin the podcast on the back of Arsenal's 2-2 draw with Watford, of course, having been 2-0 up. We can hear now from the manager, Flores, and an irate Arsenal fan.
Now Roberto Pereira with a golden opportunity to earn Watford a point. Steps up, going to hit it right-footed, sends Neto the wrong way, and Watford have come from 2-0 down, and it's 2-2. It's exactly what they deserve.
That result today is disappointed for us, because after 2-0, we had the chances in the second half to win today. But only we can work about our mistakes today for the next matches.
They are a very good team, so to get some point in one point, sorry, against Arsenal also is really good. In my first period in Watford, didn't get anyone in league, so it's the first one with them. So welcome.
To be honest with you, nothing's really changed since Wenger's left. Still the weak mentality. Despite us spending a lot more money than under Wenger's last few years, we had an opportunity to address the defence. And once again, we've signed a defender that, in my opinion, is no better than Mustafi. Last few games, he's cost us, David Luiz. Mm-hmm. He's a shambles. He should not play again. And the manager, Unai Emery, should not manage Arsenal again. We need to look further. There isn't a lot of good managers out there. But you look at what Chelsea are doing. I know they started off poorly, but Lampard, they got their youth players to gel and win 5-2 at Wolves, which is not an easy game. And to be honest with you, Unai Emery is not getting the youngsters and the senior players playing as a team together. The attack is still the same as under Wenger, in my opinion. Kroenke is a big problem in the club. And to be honest with you, like, I think all they've done by signing Nicolas Pepe is just people please. I think it was just a signing to get the crowd off his back. Like you said, there is bigger problems at the club, and any manager coming into it would face the same thing with the players that we've got.
Over now to the Weekend Sports Breakfast Show, or as we say here at TalkSport Towers, WSB. And Tony Cascarino on Kyle Walker. Oh, I see, talking about Kyle Walker. And then Dean Ashton defending Kyle Walker on Sunday exclusive. So basically, everyone was talking about Kyle Walker. Cascarino was poo-pooing him, and Dean Ashton was un-poo-pooing him.
I just don't think Kyle Walker's the player he was. I just think he's way off. He had a difficult time last year. That's why they brought a right back. For the second goal, he's tried to play offside, realised where he is, and then dropped off, and then allowed him about 10-yard space for Norwich to get the second goal. Because, yes, you give away the ball, but you still can't make that second error afterwards, which they did. And Kyle Walker, I think, has played that offside play or using it and dropped off and then found himself 10 yards deeper than any other defender. You can't do that.
Do not get how Kyle Walker is not in the England squad. He's 29.
Perhaps it would have been something that Gareth Southgate knows what he can give him.
Possibly, but he's 29. For me, he's still the best fullback we've got, for me personally. Yesterday, he was the driving force that was still pushing Manchester City forwards towards the end of the game. Had as much energy as anyone, even the subs that came on. That was still him. Okay, he makes the odd mistake now and again, but really, if you're talking about over last season, didn't make many mistakes. rarely gets beaten 1v1 because of his pace, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Today I've seen lots of people on social media hammering him as if it's all his fault. No, Otamendi made the mistakes. The mistakes weren't Kyle Walker's fault whatsoever yesterday, yet he's getting hammered. I honestly don't get it. I still see him as, you know, the best English fullback we've got.
Now, of course, one of the things we pride ourselves on here at TalkSport is we take lots and lots of phone calls from lots and lots of football fans. Yeah, you. And of course, the best show to do that on is Monday to Thursday, Andy Goldstein Sports Bar from 10 p.m, where, of course, we react to all the big games. Whereas this week we've got Premier League on Monday, then Tuesday, Wednesday, it's Champions League, and Thursday, the biggest European competition of them all, the Europa League. Anyway, more about that later, but staying with a football fan, this was, I think, one of the best calls from the weekend from Game Day, a Wolves fan.
Nuno Espirito Santo has got to look over his shoulder right now because his job is going to be in jeopardy if results carry on the way they are.
Is there any sympathy because of the fact that you're battling with playing in Europe as well and you had a lot of fixtures?
I do not blame our European exploits for the slump in performances and in form and in results.
Okay.
I blame the fact that he's constantly asset stripping, and when I say asset stripping, he is getting rid of players that I rate very highly, and I've become increasingly irate that he's getting rid of the flair players.
Now, it was a decent weekend for England in the cricket world. Decent in as much that we didn't lose, but not decent in as much that the Aussies retained the Ashes. Anyway, Guy Swindles, TalkSport's cricket correspondent, was with some of the Aussie and England players talking Ashes.
England's man of the series. It's been some series. Have you taken it in yet at all?
Yeah, it's been a fantastic series to be a part of. Now I've been involved in three now. We got humped in one, we won one, and now we've drawn one, so I've managed to do all three possible. But yeah, it's been a brilliant series to be a part of. It's been a real challenge for both teams. You know, both teams have been up against the wall, both teams have been in front by a long way throughout the whole series, and I think 2-2 reflects the cricket that's been played throughout the whole summer.
How much does it mean to you and the guys to have actually squared the series and made sure you didn't lose the Ashes?
That's the thing. You know, we came here knowing that we couldn't win the Ashes, but we knew that we could come here and draw the Ashes as a series, and obviously with a Test Championship to play for, every game counts now. So it's good that that's came in, and you know, we knew we still had everything to play for this series. You know, they've won it because they won it in the last series. So you know, we didn't want Australia to leave here, you know, winning the Ashes. That was our goal these last 4 days. We managed to do it, so we're proud of that.
Now 2019. There'll always be Headingley, there'll always be the World Cup. Have you had a chance to put any of that stuff in perspective yet?
I think, you know, I know obviously some of the things I've managed to do as an individual, which is, you know, I'm sure one day when, you know, I'm old and can't walk like Ian Botham looks at the moment, I'll be able to look back on them with fond memories. But, you know, at the moment, whilst I'm, you know, still feel like I've got a lot of cricket ahead of me, you know, hopefully I can produce more days like that. And hopefully, you know, I can just be a part of a successful England team in the next 5 to 6 years.
Have you enjoyed it? Because it has been nip and tuck all the way through.
I've loved it. I've loved every minute of the last 4.5 months I've been here in England with the World Cup and the Ashes. So it's been great fun, and really proud I've been able to perform and help this team achieve something that hasn't been done for a while here in England, and that's take the urn home.
And you even won over the English crowd by the end as well, standing ovations.
Yeah, it was a nice little round of applause, I guess. I walked off the field today. Unfortunately, I couldn't walk off with a few more runs under my belt today, but, you know, I gave this series my all, and, you know, I'm pretty mentally and physically fatigued right now, and kind of glad it's over. Would have been nice to have had a sixth test, maybe, and a decider, but happy it's all done now and can just catch up on some sleep, chill out, and get ready for a big summer back home.
Geoffrey, let's start with this match. What did it mean to square the series for you and the guys?
It meant everything, you know. We made sure they didn't win the Ashes. They only retained it, so that's good.
You yourself, another 6 foot. Enjoying Test match cricket?
Yeah, it's been up and down, you know. We got 6 first innings. We didn't got any in the second, you know. But although I didn't get one, I felt that I contributed to the team, you know, kept it slow at some points, you know, and gave the other guys some encouragement, some excitement to then want to come and be part of the game as well.
Now, it's been quite a summer in your introduction to international cricket. You've won the World Cup, you've bowled the Super Over, you've tied with Australia in the Ashes. Have you been able to take it in yet?
Now the summer is over, I'll probably have a good time to sit down and reflect on everything that I've done. But, you know, every time from the moment I put an England shirt on, it's been amazing cricket, you know, from the first game to the very last game. And hopefully this is the start of something good with the boys.
I'm Darren Goff, and this is TalkSport Daily.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
We can move on now to Simon Jordan's final word. I know that's quite ironic, because if you know Simon Jordan, you'll know that he's never ever had the final word. He's just constantly going on and on and on. That final word will never ever happen. Even when he's long gone and he's 6 feet under, he'll probably leave some kind of tape recording of him just yabbering on about when I was Crystal Palace chairman and when I hired Steve Coppell. Anyway, this is from Danny Kelly and Simon Jordan on the final word.
But there is the full-time whistle. It's only Bournemouth's second win at home in the Premier League since the end of January, but it moves them into the top half, above Everton, into eighth place. Marco Silva really needs to find a cure to Everton's travel sickness.
We had some moments with quality, but after you cannot give so easy things to our opponent. First or second corner they scored, and when they score, and of course, I'm not taking the credit to Bournemouth. They won the game and they deserved
it. We've spoken about him over the years, and specifically last year or the year before last, when he was being courted by Everton and all that unseemly, you know, unedifying sort of dispute that went on between Everton and Watford. And at the time, he falls into a category of manager that I don't particularly like, which is a manager that gets into a job, seems to believe that he's earned his stripes, and then bats his eyes at the next available opportunity that he thinks is a step up. And there's quite a few of them about. You know, I'm not comparing necessarily achievements of Gary Rowett to that of Marco Silva, because Marco Silva is, on paper, prima facie, a Premier League manager, although hasn't done that much.
There's a difference between managing Premier League clubs and being a Premier League manager.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, you know, a lot of the Silva myth came when, of course, he landed on our shores of Hull, and we had the all-knowing panel of four talking about what credentials did he have, how did he get this job in the first place, and that he was a waste of time and they should have given it to everybody else besides him. And then he performed at a decent level with Hull, surprised a few people, but they still got relegated. And then went over to Watford, and then Watford, with the support of his owners, the Pozzos, looked very good for the beginning of the season, looked very much on the front foot. He made some very good signings, specifically and explicitly with Richarlison. And then you had that situation where, you know, Everton coveted him and came for him and created a bridge or a rift between him and his current club being Watford. And ultimately, he's landed Everton. And we look at Everton, you look at Everton, I look at Everton, and you hear about Mashiri's wealth, and you see the signings of Gylfie Sigurdsson for 50 million quid, and you see Richarlison arriving as a result of Marco Silva
Michael
for similar
Keane,
amounts of money.
Iwobi was a lot of money.
£25 million centre-backs coming in, and Iwobi coming in because they looked like they wanted to buy Wilfried Zaha, but didn't really. They wanted to spend a certain amount of money. And I'm questioning the actual efficacy of Everton's stated intention, because we look at Everton now, back in our minds, with Howard Kendall and a club competing at the top of the Premier League. We think of Mashiri coming through the door and taking up the cudgel or taking up the mantle from Bill Kenwright, who I know very well, and looking like they're going to move across the Stanley Docks and build this stadium and again become a force in English football. But they don't seem to be doing very much, and they don't seem to be producing very much. Now, they had a better half of the second half of the season last year. They started well, fell away, and then got better towards the end of the season and finished respectably. But where are Everton actually going? And I look at some of the players that they have amongst their group, and I think it's interesting. You know, when they signed Gareth Barry, I didn't think that was an inspiring signing, and I don't think Fabian Delph is an inspiring signing.
They're trying to replicate what they got from the other Neville, aren't they?
Possibly.
Which was 10 years of brilliant service
possibly,
for a player who looked like he'd done his stuff at Manchester United.
But you look at these managers and you look at them and you say, Silva comes in and Everton are supposed to be pushing and they're supposed to be the club that's like, not supposed to be, but that's what we feel,
yes,
that are likely to be a club that's going to be a real comer, that's going to come and knock on the door of the top six because they've got Mashiri, because they look good on paper and because they look like they're making big signings. But then again, they've sold people like Lukaku and that money has probably been redeployed to spend on people like Sigurdsson. So the question is Silva a myth? I've always thought he was. I don't think he's earned his credentials. I don't think he's achieved anywhere near what Everton would need to become one of the top six in this division.
Now on to the Barry Glendening warm-up show, which features some other Max Headroom or something. And there was controversy on this week's show as well.
Quick game of Carver House, Baz.
Okay.
Okay, let's go. Phil King.
Ian Snowden.
John Harkes.
Ian Bishop.
Robert Allathorne.
Ian Brightwell.
John Newsom.
Ian Ormondroyd.
Vinnie Samways.
Ian Culverhouse.
Oh.
I Norwiched you there.
That was a great performance. Stunning.
It wasn't actually, it was just simple. I think you were expecting... Yeah. Something a little more high-road.
Matt says, I'm sure Barry started with Ian Stone, not Steve Stone. Linesman is flagging, must go to VAR.
I started with Ian Snowden.
Oh, yeah, that is true. You did. So we're saying we don't... The VAR's checked it, and much like a Jamal Lascelles foul in the box...
No, VAR hasn't checked it.
VAR checks everything.
I have been wrongly accused of chicanery.
Yeah, VAR is checking, I'm being told.
I have told you what happened,
yes,
and you're not prepared to take my word for it.
No, I believe you. I believe you, but VAR checks everything.
Right, well, there's no need to check. I know what I said. I said Ian Snowden.
Phil King.
Ian Snowden.
Everyone, of course, was talking about Fury this weekend and there was lots of reaction to it. And not surprising. I've seen it. Brad Pitt is a wonderful actor. It's a great film. And if you've not seen it, my advice is to go down to your local Blockbusters and rent out a VHS as soon as you can. Love that movie.
What Fury did, there was no panic in the corner, which is credit to Ben Davison as well. Fury was very savvy in telling the doctor, as soon as the doctor asked him, I can see out of the eye, he knew the risks involved. And then I think he got his mojo, and from round 6 to 11, he really did dominate. with heavy shots. But there was more drama then in the 12th round as Wallin landed another big left hand, and Fury looked quite exhausted at that point. But he showed something there tonight, that the desire and grit's still there. Fury just showed again that he's just got something about him, because it cannot have been good to be fighting, not even seeing out of his right eye. The drama was in that eye-sized gash that opened up with the left hook above Tyson Fury's right eyebrow in the third round. And, of course, the referee wants the doctor, the ringside physician, to look at the cut, and you're just thinking, oh, my God, this fight is going to be stopped. Because Ben Davison in the corner, Fury's trainer, thought it was a clash of heads. But it would have been ruled in favour of Otto Wallin at that point by technical knockout for the victory. They wouldn't have gone to the cards, because if it, they didn't rule it as an accidental clash. So there's a lot of drama in the fight. Yeah. And I think that's what you get in heavyweight boxing. And that's what you get in boxing in general. It is theatre, and things don't go according to the script, even though Wallin was completely written off in this fight.
And now on to what a lot of people are saying is the... In fact, don't take my word for it. Got a little email here. It says, Dear Andy, love the Andy Goldstein Sports One Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Will you be taking phone calls this week after the Premier League game on Monday and then Champions League Tuesday, Wednesday and Europa League Thursday? Hope the answer is yes. Yes, it is. Oh, sorry, there's more. But what I want to know is, how good was this week's Trans-Europe Express? Well, make your own mind up. On to headline number two. The headline is great goal, terrible guy. We're talking French football. I imagine that he's going to be Messi. Well, I'm sorry, Neymar. Well, I know it's Neymar because, of course, we spoke about this earlier on. And what did surprise me when I was reading about this was the fact that not only did he score a late winner against Strasbourg, but he got booed during the game and then booed after when he scored the goal. Very bizarre.
It's a really unusual spectacle, the fact that he scores this fantastic overhead kick. And there's a cheer, and then the cheers are quite sort of, you know, supplemented by boos and whistles. I mean, when do you get that when a team scores in stoppage time winner at home? It's one of the most extraordinary things I can really remember at top level football in quite a long time. I remember seeing an NBA team. I think it was Sacramento Kings. It was Buddy Hield scoring a buzzer beater fourth quarter winner.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
Stay with me. In a game at Detroit last season, and he scored it, and he got running. And you know when someone scores a basket or a goal or whatever, and they just go on a run, and he just ran like off the court down the tunnel and basically went home. And I kind of felt that Neymar was quite close to that, while everyone else stayed around for a cuddle and the Strasbourg players were commiserating with them because they'd played really well and then got to the end and lost their point. Neymar was straight off the pitch. And then afterwards, he said, well, I just have to accept that from now on, the supporters have the right to express themselves how they want, and I understand where they're coming from, but I just have to understand that for now, every game for me is an away game.
Well, I mean, he wanted to be... He certainly didn't want to be a home team player at Parc des Princes, so, I mean, he's gotten his wage, surely. I think this is completely fine. I'm sure some of the abuse goes into the excessive, which we're not in favour of, obviously. But I like the fact that... Listen, the backstory here is... It was Neymar who wanted to move to Paris Saint-Germain, right? Move was instigated.
Didn't he say he was never going to play for PSG?
The move was instigated from his side of the thing, right? And we like to think of PSG as this team that has limitless funds, and maybe in a way they do, but 200 million euros is still 200 million euros. Like, they made an enormous financial commitment to him, which also limits the money they can spend on other players and whatever. They made a huge, huge commitment to him, and they made him like the front, put him right there as the franchise player in this great project of theirs. And they've been incredibly patient with all of his nonsense and him sort of going back to Brazil when he's injured and other things you hear rumours about. They've been very, very patient. They've let him, Neymar, be Neymar. And he's rewarded them this summer by trying, in a really disrespectful and overt way, of forcing himself out of the club, talking about not wanting to play there and all this sort of stuff, right? If you then come back, you're going to get booed by the fans. And I think it's almost a little bit of a... Sorry, I like the fact they have enough backbone to still boo him, even though he did a goal.
When you score the winner, there's got to be a moment as a fan where you go, actually, fair play. Not boo them.
No, I don't think so.
I think there was for about 7.5 seconds.
staggering
about that long a gap.
The staggering levels, staggering levels of disrespect he's shown the club. I think he deserves to get booed, and I think the fact that the fans don't completely change their mind just because he's done a goal, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I love the way you say "done a goal."
Yeah.
I love that.
But that's it for another podcasting. Just time to tell you about another little email. It's coming here. It says, Andy, love the work you do on the Trans-Europe Express. Very kind. And also love the work you do Monday to Thursday on the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar. Very kind of you. Just want to know how long you'll continue doing the TalkSport Daily podcast for, as I'm a big fan of your voice and only your voice. And if you stop doing it, then I probably would unsubscribe like everyone else that's subscribed already. Well, that's a very good question. There's no name on that, but thanks very much. As long as they pay me nothing, I do it for free. Anyway, that's it for another podcasting thing. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to download it. Remember to press subscribe. If you're new to this, press that button. And then, of course, every single day, apart from 2 days, I still haven't worked it out. I think we do one on a Sunday, which gets to you on Monday. But then there isn't one on a Friday, but that's because it's the... Anyway, there's five in, out of the 7 days. You understand it. If you press subscribe, you'll get it without having to do anything else other than having already pressed subscribe. You get my drift. Don't forget, of course, I'll be on TalkSport tonight reacting to Aston Villa against West Ham, which is an 8 p.m. kickoff, meaning when me and the fun boy come on air at 10, we'll be taking your calls. And then all through the week, there's big Champions League games and Europa League games, so we'll be taking calls on the back of them, as always, from 10 p.m. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.